Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Bye, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update from Manx Radio. Good evening. It's Wednesday, 27th of January. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. And background to the news, we've got sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person. Noted cases of COVID-19, so that's 30 active cases, none in Nobles, and the 1st of February is getting closer. The health boss talks about the vaccine strategy, and Ronald's Way, it's all hands on deck to get the children back to school. Quarterbridge gets roadworks from next Monday till the end of February, and the Isle of Man Friends of Israel talk about Holocaust Memorial Day.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
And first of all, 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. First of my, Tessa Hawley.
First of May, no new cases of COVID-19 have been reported on the Isle of Man. It means 15 days have now passed without evidence of community spread of the virus. The current number of active cases remains at 30. An extraordinary Timwald sitting has been called for Tuesday to consider the latest public health regulations. It isn't yet known whether members will meet in person or virtually, depending on whether lockdown restrictions are lifted as planned on Monday. Victims of domestic abuse will be able to ask for help at the island's pharmacies in the future. The Department of Health and Social Care is working to introduce the Ask for Annie scheme at chemists. News from further afield, and Labour is accusing the government of another U-turn after the reopening of schools in England was delayed until the 8th of March. The Prime Minister's confirmed plans to allow children back into classrooms immediately after the February half term have been abandoned. British travellers returning to the UK from coronavirus hotspots will have to quarantine for 10 days in government-provided accommodation. People who leave the country will also be required to fill in a form explaining why their trip is necessary. And Downing Street says it's being kept up to date on developments about a suspicious package sent to a site which helps make the COVID-19 vaccine. Bomb disposal units were called to the factory in Wrexham earlier. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Tessa, from the Ronald's Way Met Office. Some strong winds out in the North Irish Sea. Rain this evening on the island on a fresh east-southeasterly, getting heavy and persistent through the night, down to 6 degrees. For Thursday, Jerdain, we're saying wet and windy to kick off with, then clearing through the morning as the wind throttles back. Up to 9 Celsius, more rain through Thursday evening and overnight into Friday. Low temperatures 6. And Friday itself, Jehenia, rain first thing, clearing through the morning, then dry and cloudy with a fresh easterly up to 8 degrees. Low water was a little less than half an hour ago. High water this evening, 4 minutes past 11. Low water overnight, 12 minutes past 5. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 13 minutes past 8. High water, 8 minutes past 11. The Ben McCree didn't make it to Heysham. Well, she got to Heysham, just couldn't go into the harbour, so she's back in harbour at the moment, out this evening at 7:45.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online, manxglass.com.
The chief exec of the health department on the Isle of Man has been providing details of the island's COVID vaccine programme. The Ronald's Way Airport vaccine hub is due to open tomorrow. Catherine Magson was speaking at a question and answer session with members of the public.
We have done 4,678 vaccinations. 4,049 of those were firsts, and 629 of those are second doses. And to give you some idea of the scale, which we've always said we're going to be doing and ramping up in line with the deliveries that we receive, we've got 3,000 individuals booked over the next 7 days. So bear in mind, we've been going since the 4th of January and we've done 4,678 in total, which is now actually a higher number as I speak now, and then a 3,000 in the next 7 days. It gives you a real feel for how quickly this programme is developing and accelerating. There are actually 6,500 vaccinations booked beyond 7 days, so a lot underway. And actually, by my reckoning, over the next 7 days, we will have done 7,000 vaccinations, which is more than 8% of the population. So in relation to, people often ask me also how many vaccinations we have on Ireland. That's a common question. Our aim is to vaccinate as quickly as we receive. We are dependent on the UK deliveries. They come once a week. Although it can change, and even only yesterday we received a vaccination tray of Pfizer vaccinations. That's 970, although we do actually get six vaccinations out of each vial, so that will be for 1,170 people. So just to get a feel for where we are, we have one Pfizer tray in stock, so assuming 1,170 to be booked, and four set aside for their second dose. So they're in the deep freeze, they're held at that minus 70 and put aside in line with our policy around the second dosage. So that changes all the time. It is a very movable feast. The delivery schedule does definitely move, including the volumes, although Pfizer is certainly generally more standard. Every week we tend to receive a tray. And AstraZeneca, which is the second vaccination that we're currently using now, and we started in the residential care homes last week, and we're starting in the airport tomorrow. We have 2,400 vaccinations on Ireland for the first dose and 2,800 on the second dose. There's a difference between the two, because I said this is live information, and actually some of those first doses are underway in relation to the care home and the residential home. So we've got enough set aside for those that we're giving the first dose through to the second dose.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening and thanks for joining Manx Radio. It's 23 minutes before six. It's all hands on deck over the next 2 days for school staff across the Isle of Man. From tomorrow, Thursday 28th, children currently taught at primary hubs will return to their normal schools to be taught in bubbles. All other students are expected to return next Monday, with remote learning to be phased out by the end of this week. This is Onchan Primary School head teacher Jo Richardson.
The first thing that we'll need to do will be to start taking all that down, dismantling that, and then getting everything out of storage again, so that when the children come back into the building in their entirety on Monday, and the school looks exactly as it did on the 6th of January, which was their last day in school. And so that's one of the things that we'll be doing tomorrow. And the other thing that we need to do is to be aware, really, that we've got children who are still going to be accessing the hub. So they've got to have activities there for them. So we've got some staff that will be actually focusing on those children who are coming in, whereas the rest of the staff will then be preparing all the learning, preparing assessments, preparing feedback for children and getting ready for everything for, like I say, for business as usual on Monday.
And speaking of business as usual, are there going to be any coronavirus guidelines at all that you're planning on keeping in place?
At this moment in time, we know that masks, they're not mandatory, that they are a personal choice for staff. So on Monday, that's the guideline that we've issued to our staff here. Tomorrow and Friday, we still have 2 metre social distancing for all staff and for children who are in the building. So we've still got to work within those parameters over the next 2 days. On Monday, we're all very much aware of the guidelines that we've had over the last almost year, I guess, in terms of good hand hygiene, being very much aware of coughs and colds and sneezes and all of those things. So we'll be carrying on with those guidelines over the next however long it takes.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Well, it was all going so well this morning. The Bette McCrea left Douglas at 27 minutes past 8. She was due to get into Heysham at 12:15, but unfortunately couldn't safely enter Heysham Harbour due to dense fog. She's back in Douglas right now and will be leaving at 7:45 this evening, heading for Heysham. Of course, goes without saying there wasn't a 2:15 departure from Heysham to the Isle of Man, so freight will be somewhat delayed.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
Well, there's the promenade in Douglas, there's Pullrose Bridge to come, and also before then, work to improve Cotter Bridge will start on Monday. The Department for Infrastructure has confirmed there'll be a number of road closures and diversions while the project's underway. The details from Tessa Hawley.
The Steam Packets blog shows a detailed timeline of the Manxman project.
Work was temporarily paused due to the circuit break lockdown, but is now ready to begin again when restrictions lift on Monday. Contractors will start on the lower part of the road from Alexander Road Junction to the Quarterbridge roundabouts first. This phase of works is expected to take 4 weeks. Whilst it's being completed, the northbound carriageway will be closed. That's because the DOI says it would be impractical to use temporary traffic lights to allow two-way traffic because it would cause unacceptable tailbacks. So let's take a look at what it means for motorists using the area. From 9 a.m. on Monday, Quarterbridge Road will be made one-way between the Quarterbridge roundabouts and Selborne Drive. Southbound traffic will be diverted at the bottom of Bray Hill. The junction of Quarterbridge Road with Alexander Drive will be closed. The junction with Quarterbridge Road and Devonshire Crescent will remain open, but traffic will only be able to turn right towards Bray Hill. And traffic from the north will also be diverted. Residents who live on Quarterbridge Road will be given a letter this week outlining the plans and highlighting how access will be maintained whilst the paving works are underway. The diversions and the road closures are expected to be in place until Sunday, February the 28th.
Plans for the new steam packet vessel's design are progressing well, with the new ship Manxman set to replace the Ben McCree in 2023. The company's given an update on construction in a two-part blog on its website. The details from Lewis Foster.
Work was temporarily paused due to
the steam packets blog shows a detailed timeline of the Manxman project from design to delivery, the like of which we've not seen so far. Currently, a team is working on both the external and internal features, a process described as vital and the longest of the project. It will take 12 months to be exact. Over the next year, a detailed 3D design of the vessel will be made, as well as the construction drawings which will allow the whole thing to be built. Interior design and layouts will then be finalised and equipment and machinery agreed. The task of bringing those drawings to life lies with the construction team at the Hyundai Mipo dockyard in South Korea. First, they'll cut the steel, where the skeleton pieces of the ship will be crafted. This will take about 2 months. Then comes the block construction. Over 4 or 5 months, those new steel plates will be welded together, blasted and painted. Then some of the outfitting, pipes, cable trays and foundations will be added. The Manxman really comes together in the next stage, the steam packet says. That's the keel laying and construction. The keel is essentially the spine of the ship, the lengthwise steel structure that runs along the base, supporting the framework of the whole vessel. Once that's laid and the core blocks of the ship are welded together, large items of machinery, such as the Manxman's main engines, can be installed. This takes us to the turn of summer-autumn next year, and the ship should be complete. All that's left is the launch and the sea trials, just to double check that the whole thing floats. If all's well, we should see the Manxman docked in Douglas by spring 2023.
Manx Radio's business briefing.
At 17 minutes before 6, car makers from Honda to VW have had to stop making 280,000 vehicles amid a global supply shortage of microchips. For auto manufacturing, several factors contributed to this, including a boom in competing demand for chips for electronic gadgets in the pandemic, car makers keeping their inventories low, and America's curbs on Chinese chip makers curtailing supply. The current shortage has also highlighted Taiwan's semiconductor industry dominance, with the Taipei government asking manufacturing giant TSMC to resolve the issue. While the Davos World Economic Forum, usually held at this time of the year in Switzerland, has been postponed to Singapore and to May, business and world leaders are meeting virtually this week to set the Davos agenda and to prepare for the in-person summit. The theme of rebuilding trust will have a large focus in the global recovery from COVID-19, but looming over the sessions is the question of whether or not it'll be safe and feasible to actually convene in a few months from now as cases continue to rise across the world.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks were lower, echoing an uncertain trend seen in other global markets. The dollar edged higher, oil bounced back, and gold slipped as the dollar climbed. In corporate news, precious metals miner Fresnillo lost its shine after it lowered its current year gold output forecast. Miners were weaker generally, with Anglo American and Glencore in the red. And the numbers from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London: the FTSE 100 down 1.3%. 1% at 6,567. The DAX in Frankfurt down just over 1.75% at 13,620. Currently in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial is down 1% at 30,596. The tech stocks index, the NASDAQ, almost down 1.5% at 13,440. And the S&P 500 in Chicago down 1.5% at 3,790. But the day is yet young. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 37 cents, €1 13.2 cents, and 20 South African rand 82.5 cents. And finally, in commodities, gold is down almost 0.2% at $1,847 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil down 0.4% at $56.29.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Krikor, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseykrikor.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
The Isle of Man's COVID death rate has been compared to the UK, Crown Dependencies and other island nations. 25 people lost their lives to the virus here, 20 of which were residents of the Abbotswood care home. Data compiled by Michael Joseph, whose data visualisation skills previously landed him a job at PokerStars, shows how this compares with neighbouring and similar countries. Ewan Gorn asked him if there was value in comparing nations facing different circumstances.
The comparison is very valuable because the results in the Isle of Man are exactly what you would expect if you compare us to other nations. And that's why it's valuable to compare with other jurisdictions. So, for example, we have had generally pretty similar policy implementations here in the Isle of Man as with Guernsey, and we've had pretty similar death rates and outcomes as compared with Guernsey. I completely and unequivocally reject the idea that there was some sort of outlier here in the Isle of Man, because first of all, these numbers show that there is no outlier. And second of all, across jurisdictions of all sizes around the world, the vast majority of deaths in most jurisdictions have occurred in care homes. So about three quarters of the deaths here in the Isle of Man occurred in care homes, which is broadly in line with the percentage of deaths that occurred in other jurisdictions across the world in care homes. And finally, the alternative, which is to somehow discount the deaths of those people in Abbotswood, would be do a great disservice, because those deaths are human beings. And there is no intellectual or moral justification for counting those people any less than the people who have lost their lives in other circumstances here in the Isle of Man or further abroad.
What sort of questions arise from it in your mind?
So different questions, you know, different people can have different questions. And so for me, it was interesting to see that the nations that were very fast to close their borders, such as Australia and New Zealand, have much lower death rates than here in the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man and Guernsey, which were later to close their borders, after all, who can forget the Chief Minister encouraging people to go out to restaurants in March last year, while after borders in Australia and New Zealand had already been closed. Our borders were closed later, and we can see very clearly that we have a higher death rate than those faster nations. But also how the impact here has been a lot less in terms of the death rate than nations that have retained very open borders, such as the United Kingdom, such as Jersey or Malta and so on.
Manx Radio Sport.
Vastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Vastamai, you only have two more days to get your nominations in for the 2020 Isle of Man Sports Awards. The annual ceremony celebrates the sporting achievements and inspirational success stories of Manx athletes during the year. And despite 2020 being one of disruption and frustration for athletes across the island and, of course, the world, many local sportswomen and men have still shone through. The awards are due to be held on Thursday, the 25th of March. You can nominate people online, the link to which can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. Nominations close on Friday, the 29th of January. Get your diaries out as the date has been announced for this year's Manx Three Peaks Challenge. The event was created by the Isle of Man Children's Centre and held for the very first time last year, and it was so successful it's making a return for round two. It's due to be held on Sunday the 4th of July and will see local runners start at sea level and then work their way to conquering North Barrule, Snaefell and Benipot. Registrations will open soon, but if you would like to put forward your interest or request more information, you're asked to email the team on fundraising@thechildrenscentre.org.in. Further afield, and a US gymnast routine celebrating black excellence has gone viral with more than 9 million views on social media. The floor routine by Nia Dennis, an athlete at the University of California in LA, incorporated songs by artists including Kendrick Lamar, Beyoncé and Missy Elliott. She said Black Lives Matter protests inspired the performance, which saw her kneel with her fist in the air. The routine wowed the judges and earned her praise from celebrities, fellow athletes and fans. And the Premier 15s League returns this weekend following a two-week suspension to help reduce the spread of COVID-19. The Rugby Football Union is introducing a twice-weekly lateral flow testing programme for club players and staff. A full programme of games, round 11, will resume on the 6th of February, with further fixtures scheduled for up to around 14. Dates for rounds 15 to 18, the semi-finals and the final, will depend on the timing of the delayed Women's Six Nations.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Open as normal during this circuit break.
The Matrix signs to the mountain road showing fog. Please use lights. Well, you would anyway. It's dark, but do be careful on the mountain road this evening. There's fog around. The 10-5 Liverpool patient transfer Loganair left 8 minutes late. It's due back in at 20-7 this evening. On the roads, Cronk Road, Port St Mary closed for gas main replacement. Westlands in Peel closed for demolition, refurbishment and extension. Station Park in Colby's closed for curb replacement. Glen Elphin Road in Ramsey, parking suspended there for nearby construction. And the phased closures for water main replacement and sewage infrastructure in Peel are between the House of Mananin and the Boatyard. And that public right-of-way, Mackall Lighthouse Road, the Port Cornet Road, public right-of-way 512 is closed. There's been a landslip there. And the Ben McCree didn't dock in Heysham this morning. She's back and will be off out again at 7:45.
Quayside Tyres use Xmist to sanitise all vehicles and is available for your home or workplace. For tyre requirements, we can come to your drive or workplace with no call-out charge during the circuit break or arrange collection and return. Call 66-4417.
Today is Holocaust Memorial Day, and while there'd usually be a service marking the occasion, in the current circumstances, it's not possible. But one Douglas woman says it's really important for people to remember what happened. Roz Dobson is from the Isle of Man Friends of Israel. She's been sharing her family story with Amy Griffiths.
I do think it's so important that people remember and they learn from the past. And if you don't, the past, of course, is bound to repeat itself. And it's also respect for the victims. My father, he was in the British Army and he was the unit interpreter. So he went in with his unit on the fourth day of the liberation of Belsen. And he never spoke about it. He did, towards the end of his life, he did speak to me. It was the only time I ever saw him crying. I asked him what his main impression was, and he said it was the smell of death. Because I said, what does that smell like? And he said, it's a sweet smell.
Gosh, what a thing for your dad to have to see and to experience. I mean, just how did that affect him?
Oh, I'm sure that he suffered from PTSD. Of course, we didn't know what that was, but he said the actuality was just so awful, it's hard to take on, and I'm sure it affected him for the rest of his life.
Some of your mother's family were actually prisoners within Auschwitz. Did any of them survive?
No, they were just, the Nazis came into the house and it took them away. However, the son, who was about 13, 14, they had a maid, and they hid him, they managed to hide him, after they got him out of Germany. When he got to the border, the officials at the border, one of them said to him, "Oh, never mind, the sun's shining in England." And I thought that was quite remarkable.
5 to 6 on Update. The Manx Labour Party is calling on the Manx government to prioritise a broad national housing strategy rather than focus solely on affordable homes. It's after Timbald agreed to include a look at first-time buyer options as part of a wider review of housing. This is the Manx Labour leader, Joni Farragher.
We've held public meetings around this issue and we've identified several areas of concern. Some examples of those being the need for not-for-profit housing, the difficulties for first and second-time buyers, maintenance and renewal of local authority housing issues and government support towards insulation and environmental home improvements. And that has to be alongside training for construction firms, as well as a high level of concern that government and construction companies are choosing greenfield development too readily, as opposed to brownfield development, which needs to take precedence if we're to reach our environmental targets. So they're some of the issues that we're requesting that the minister will take into account when he's developing a national housing strategy.
Housing has been a topic of debate for many administrations, but there often seems to be a reluctance to take any big steps. It's more tinkering with the smaller policies. Do you think a national strategy is the way of dealing with this host of issues to do with housing?
Yeah, and that's exactly why we're trying to advocate for a national housing strategy as opposed to an affordable housing strategy. Really, when you're looking at an affordable housing strategy, you're kind of tinkering around the edges, which is exactly what's happened in previous years and has led us to this kind of quite overwhelming issue now with housing.
So why is it overwhelming? Sorry, Joni, what makes you draw that conclusion that it's an overwhelming issue?
Well, we know that younger people are struggling to get on the property ladder. We know that we have most of our housing stock isn't insulated to acceptable standards in terms of our environment policy. We have lots of challenges for first and second time buyers. We know that local authority housing isn't being maintained according to appropriate standards. So there's just an awful, there's a whole raft of issues really that people are facing in terms of housing. So if we just look at one area, which is affordable housing, you're just simply not addressing all of those issues. So we do need one whole policy that will look at all of those issues in tandem.
That's it for Update tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Tessa Hawley, producer Ewan Gorn. Of course, Manx Radio News is in business 7 days a week, and all the stories you've heard on this update and much more Manx news, interviews and podcasts, and the web's biggest source of Manx videos are at manxradio.com. Like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. Stick around for Chris Kinley. I'm back tomorrow night.